Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, let's get straight down to the nitty-gritty. Would not believe what happened to me on Wednesday morning.
Oh, where would I start guessing, Rick?
Well, I'll tell you what. Wednesday morning, I ran into the great man.
Ian or Greg Chappell or...
Ayersy.
Oh, really?
Ayersy. Aaron Ayers. Wow. Now, isn't that incredible?
Unreal. I mean... Had he on the show? Had he mentioned his name on the show?
Yeah. King of Lindock. And I've run into him just inside the main entrance at Drake's in Gawler.
Unreal. How was he after his big loss?
Well, I've got some doubts because he said his golf was shit and he'd given up golf to go to Lawn Bowls.
Oh, no.
And he got flogged, didn't he?
Yeah, he got flogged. Everything got done. Team had a draw. So I better check that's an under Pines golf this week.
That's right. He's back,
sorry, Izzy.
He's back teeing off at 8 o'clock.
Oh, hell, good old Aaron. Okay, yes, we started the Lawn Bowls in the Barossolite League last week, Rick. And first game we're going to cover is Tanunda. They played Kapunda, and I tipped Kapunda to beat them comfortably, and it was. They doubled them. Tanunda 50, Kapunda 101. I won't go through every rink who's won, but I just pick out the biggest winning rink of the day was Jaden Green, Kevin Absalom, Peter Luquet, our mate Peter, the big import, the big highest paid import in the Barossolite and Gawler, not Gawler, sorry, Barossolite League, Peter Luquet.
Yeah.
Yep, he was number three to Cat Green. So they won 10 to 29. So you might have got double fee that day or something, you know, like double pay.
Well, you...
Big win like that.
Well, if you perform, you deserve
it. So I'll find out. Let our viewers know.
Is it true that you still owe Paynham a lot of money from last year?
From many years. So Kapunda winning that quite easily. Looks like a long year for Tanunda, I'd say. I reckon they're gonna struggle a bit. Yadunda, I tip Freeling in this one. Yadunda 104, Freeling 80.
What?
Yeah. Cool. So it's a bit of a win there, 24. So Mally Schutz was the lead in that. Corey Archie, there's a name from ex-Port Adelaide fullback. State player.
Yeah.
He must have come across, he lives up that way. He must have come across from Robertstown. He played at Robertstown for the last few years. Jeff Schmidt is a three, and the Tate Rogers was the skip. Well, they won 41 to 19, so it's a fair old hiding there. Next game was Lindock versus Mount Pleasant. I tipped Lindock. Well, I'm neither right or wrong here, Rick. It was a draw, 95 each.
Well, that doesn't happen too often, does it?
No. So the biggest winning rink was a Mount Pleasant rink. Was Dags Crane, Barry Gifford, Dennis Traeger, ex-Lindock bowler, really good bowler at Lindock, and couldn't get a game there, so he went to Mount Pleasant. So Dennis is three there, and my old neighbour, Brendan Tahini, he's a skip at Mount Pleasant. They won 16 to 30, so a good win for them. And the last game was Nuriupta versus Angaston. I tipped Angaston because I think they'll go top.
When we are we up there for the dinner?
Have we mentioned their teas on a Friday night, Rick? Well, have we mentioned it today yet?
We haven't, but we are now.
I think we will.
And that's where we're doing next week's show.
Nuriupta 88 and Angaston 127. So it's a big win there to Angaston. The biggest winning rink there was one of our listeners, Rick, probably the only listener, Bruce Field. Now, I'm going to mispronounce her name again.
Oh, Susan
Levere. Brian Bowden and John O'Voigt was a skip. 8 to 40.
They
got up. Yeah. Must have played me.
Now, listen, I'm going to interrupt because I'm going to set you some homework. All right.
Yep.
Before recording our next show, I want you to get all the pronunciations right, okay?
How do you pronounce that name? Levere.
Ring up someone
who knows. I'll ask Bruce Field.
Yes.
He's got to tell me. Bruce, you've got to tell me how to pronounce Sue's name, please.
Right.
Okay, so this week's matches quickly, Rick. We've got Mount Pleasant versus Newry, which is a Newry win for me. Kapunda versus Yadunda. Kapunda there. with Peter Leekert to star, I would say, again, Rick.
Yes.
In the form he's in.
Yes. Oh, well, you could write it down now, I would think.
Yeah. Angaston versus Tanunda.
Angaston
for me.
Well, it depends on whether we get the dinner or not.
Yeah,
it?
I suppose. Yeah. Matty Short, if you're listening. Nice invite up there for tea.
Yeah.
Freeling versus...
We could do a quiz night after we've recorded the show.
I didn't go there. Freeling versus Lindock. Oh, that could be quite a good game. I'm going to tip Lindock.
Yes.
But who knows? That could be one of those toss of the coins. Quickly, Rick, we've got Cat Green in WA playing the state side, and Jono Voigt also playing in the open state sides in bowls. And we had a teammate of mine, Christina Kirshner. She played in the over 60s last week in WA, it all is. So well done to them and good luck to them. I think today's the last day because Kat's got to play back in for Kapunda on Saturday, so she must be heading home. That's the local bowls wrap-up, Rick.
You've done it again, Phil.
We start next week, Rick. Trial game tomorrow, internal trial.
Right.
I'm back into it this week because, as you know, Rick, I'm the carer at the moment at home, so getting overhit.
Good listeners, you should see him in his nurse's uniform.
Yeah, it looks all right.
Hey, he's even shaved his legs.
Oh, I had to. That dress comes up that high.
No. Well, only because you chose to
did
have
it. Did you like
that
the frilly knickers?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And what do you got on the board over there,
Well,
Rick?
What I think, it's been an exciting time in the world of cricket. We've only just started, but... The magnificent Redbacks. What about the world record? The world record set at the Karen Rolton Road the other day.
I reckon I could make 50 on that Karen Rolton Oval. Hey? With one of those great big thick bats.
Well, it is.
How would I go with that?
You're right. I mean, like, let's be honest and fair. Congratulations, Jake Fraser-McGurk.
Oh, what sort of name's that?
Well,
have you pronounced that right?
He is a Victorian. And, as you'd expect, he's playing for South Australia because the Vics didn't want him. Anyway, he has established a world record for the fastest century in the history of one-day cricket, or basically cricket full stop.
Yep.
Now... That is a very good performance. However, what I want to do, and we won't go through the whole thing, you've already suggested there are a number of factors that make the concept very, very difficult to judge. You know, you can say, well, he scored them. That's end of story. Now, what he did, for listeners who weren't aware of it, the previous, he scored the century off of 29 balls. The previous world record was held by A.B. de Villiers with 31 balls.
Okay.
Now, let's get a few things
fair. Who did
he
score them against?
Well, he scored those in an ODI, a one-day international, against...
Canada.
West Indies.
West Indies. It'd be a bit better... Bowling attack than
well, it's interesting.
Tasmania, wouldn't it?
Well, Phil, I know you're right into the cricket, and you are all over it. You've spotted it. Now, not only is it hard to compare the Tasmania attack to Jason Holder and those sorts of guys, Jerome Taylor was playing in that game, but the Tasmanian attack that our Jake Fraser McGurk scored his world record century, didn't even have the two opening bowlers that Tasmania had used in the Sheffield Shield game a couple of days earlier. So you can hardly compare like with like, right? The score has been made.
And he's in the history books.
He's in the history books. But you've got to take into account that I think it was 2007 that AB did it.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's a long time ago.
Yep.
So... The comparison in power of the bats used from that time to the ones they're using today, I've got a feeling that the Wanderers Cricket Ground is considerably bigger than the Karen Rolton Road. And dare I say, you know, even if it was at the Adelaide Oval or MCG. So you've got to take all those things into account in I mean, I think it's dangerous to compare, particularly in a game like cricket now, where the powerful bats have taken over the dominance of the game. So anyway,
well, you said even like umpiring, it's dangerous. Quite dangerous standing there because look, rate of that ball coming back.
It is the speed at which the ball is travelling and the distances it covers. I hope I'm wrong, but I think one day a fielder will be struck and hopefully not, but could easily be killed.
Yeah, absolutely.
With some of the big hitters, even in the
beer. What about even the crowd? When they hit them at the six end of the crowd, you're not watching, you might be just taking a bite out of your hot dog or something. That's right. Whack! You got one in the back side of the head.
And there are a number of, I think they're home inventions, but I've noticed that in the T20s, the Big Bash, there are some umpires who are actually wearing arm guards.
I reckon the obvious
Some of them are using an arm guard to hopefully hold up in front of their face if the ball's coming.
Are you going to do that, Rick?
Well, to be honest, I haven't, and I don't know that I will.
Thick enough.
Oh, Phil. But I have felt quite intimidated.
You got hit, though.
It was good, Trent. Yes, it was.
He got bat on ball. I'll send this one to you, Trent.
Yeah, Trent, I didn't actually say that. And to be fair to you, it wasn't. It's quite interesting to think what might have happened. But he actually smashed it back along. The bowler actually got his finger. I mean, how unlucky could you be? Or I was pretty unlucky. The bowler got his fingertips to it and deflected it onto the top of the stumps.
That's right.
And it went from the top of the stumps into my face.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's
anyway.
Never quite been the same.
You're such a funny man, Philip. You really are. Good to see the Aussies.
Going well.
Going
Norton
well.
Norton 2.
Norton 2. As we record this, they're just trying to recover from the sogginess of getting flogged by South Africa.
I watched a bit of that last night. I watched their innings. So.
Well, I must confess that I don't know what I forgot that it was even on, so I didn't see it. However, I heard about it this morning. The only comment I'd make is that I'm not jumping off the bandwagon completely, but I can remember, you know, it's years ago now, that we used to talk about the English Test team as being Dad's Army. If you look at the Australian squad, it's Dad's Army.
I know, and they're bringing guys in like Stoinis. I mean, he's had his best cricket's gone.
Well, that's right, but the thing is that there's so many of them.
I know.
Over the age of 30, you know, and...
Well, name the ones under.
Well, that's right. And then you have to ask, where are they?
Yeah.
You know, or haven't we? Yeah. What are we doing wrong? So anyway, I've got a funny feeling that the media is going to get less and less excited about the One Day World Cup because if Australia's not in it or doing well, all of a sudden we pretend it's
that
not 50 happening.
50 overs is gone though, isn't it? It's a dying thing, isn't it?
Well,
is it Test cricket of 2020? I think that's about it.
Well, they say it is. I mean, who knows? I mean, the only thing you've got to... I don't know the answer. If you believe the press, which is a dangerous thing to do, it is dying.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. And they're talking about crowds and all this. The thing is, you've got to remember, it really doesn't matter. It's all about television.
Yeah.
And if you've got a billion people on the subcontinent who'll watch anything, then who knows?
I haven't saw the Indians barracking for South Africa last night. They must... Not like there's a few Indians in their Indian gear there and they're clapping and...
Well, there you go. There you go. Anyway,
what else we got?
What about the movers and groovers in the in the AFL draft?
What do you believe, Rick? This is what we've got to...
What a very, very
what
fine...
What do we believe?
What a very fine question. What I do believe is not to believe in too much about what the press is saying because they've got to fill up the pages.
I mean, you know, this Radicalea thing's going on. That's a week now. They're talking Ollie Lord going to Geelong where he's from. Rick.
Well, he's a Geelong grammar boy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in the end of it, and we're getting sucked in now by talking about it, but in the end, everyone tries to do the best they can. But how can Port Adelaide expect to get Radicalia for next to nothing?
Mm.
Now, Ollie Lord, who you are not the greatest fan of,
not a big fan. I think he might be all right. I think he might come on. But
what I didn't realise until recently is that he's a Geelong Grammar boy. Now, it seems to me that that's a pretty good natural deal. Now, Port can't have all their cakes and eat it as well. And so, you know, if you're going to, if we value the trade that we want, surely we've got to give them something that they want.
Yeah.
So anyway, the principle of the whole thing seems a bit strange.
Yeah, and then they're looking at Dersma going and for that guy off the halfback flank from there. And I mean, you don't know. You just don't know.
We'll wait
and see. And
what I do know, we won't go over time today, but
no.
I find in this crazy, perfect inverted commas world that we supposedly live in, some of the decisions being made in all areas of life, let alone sport, is absolutely insane. But I reckon I've just heard about one of the best. One of the best, Phil. Gymnastics Australia, right, has, which boasts, I might say, something like, and this is incredible, but I can understand it, something like 800,000 participants in one of the highest sports for children under 12.
Really?
Right? 800, it's amazing. Wow. But they're right on the money. They're going to be the answer and to everything. This is what they have just changed the guidelines. You ready for this? Please don't fall off your seat. The guidelines are about ensuring our members, regardless of their gender, sexual orientation, ability, cultural background or ethnicity, feel celebrated in who they are and can contribute to the diverse community and legacy of gymnastics as one of Australia's most popular sports for young people. But Phil, there's more.
No, it can't
This
be.
Is the best bit. This is in their policy. Individuals will be allowed to participate in the competition they believe best reflected their gender identity. Unbelievable. Really?
Did I ever tell you I won 5 best and fairest in netball? Didn't win one in footy. But
I mean, I think the thing
that is ridiculous.
I think the
so
thing.
So if you're no good in the boys, you just say, no, I think I'm a girl.
That's right.
And I go across and, that can't
it
work.
Is, I mean, talking about discrimination, that is discrimination against girls. Anyway, we won't. I've made the comment
that is
totally and utterly ridiculous.
That is.
I mean, the funny thing is, having said that, we've stopped many of the other major sports, from swimming and athletics, are tending to go the other way and get hard on the fact that there is an advantage in.
Imagine that it was at footy.
Oh, but anyway, you know, there you go. Oh. So as we finish.
Oh yes, we've got to have a joke.
As we finish. Bloke went to the doctor.
Yep.
He said, Doctor, I think there's something wrong with me. I feel like a cricket bat. And the doctor looked at him and said, how's that?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
They're not getting any better.
You said that.
All right, until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.